and in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Broadcasting live from the luxurious Homewood Inn and Suites in Montgomery, Alabama. You can tell by the tone of my voice, I'm very excited to be here. 251-343-0106. Paul writes, Trump shocking all y'all. Oh, maybe. Fire dog. Look, as discussed previously, the Glock switch is illegal on the federal level. The state has to turn these thugs over to the feds. The state can now prosecute. And it's like my understanding, the state can hold somebody and have the feds come in and handle it. And then finally, instead of banning Glock switches or the public, everyone get a Glock switch and let natural selection do its job. I don't think that is a wise solution. If you want to get in, 251-343-0106. Sitting in with us for now, and I think most of my guests are coming by. Dick Brubaker may or may not be here, but our state auditor, Andrew Sorrell, joins us. Andrew, how you been?
I've been doing well, Jeff. Good to see you last night.
Yeah, well, what did you think of the state of the state?
Well, I thought there were some very good things. The What is a Woman bill making the governor's agenda for this session I thought was fantastic. Susan DuBose, I feel bad for her. She's had 4 public hearings on that bill. She's going to have another 2 this year, one in the House and one in the Senate. It's a shame it takes 6 public hearings on such a common sense bill to pass it. So thankful the governor finally put that in her state of the state.
Well, she is getting to go to the White House today for when Trump signs his executive order banning biological men from competing in women's sports. I think that's to go down at 3 o'clock today. Well, 2 o'clock our time. But she is at least going up to Washington, D.C. today.
Well, good for her. You know, I really like Susan DuBose. And if you remember from our conversation a couple weeks ago when the whole issue was taking place with the nursing moms not being exempted from jury duty, Susan DuBose stepped up and said she was going to sponsor that bill. So she's doing a lot of really pro-woman, pro-family type legislation, along with Senator April Weaver, by the way, who for whatever reason did not get a shout out last night in the State of the State address. And I'm not sure why. Maybe because she wasn't there, but she's doing the same amount of work that Susan DuBose is doing, so I would have liked to have seen that. I thought the governor's coming out against cell phones in schools was interesting, and I think that's kind of that's probably needed. You walk through a school now, and I was delivering grant checks when I was a legislator and stuff. Every kid's on their cell phone.
Really?
You know those things are distracting those kids.
Why do you need a state law to do that? Why can't the schools just do that?
Okay, this is my frustration with the state school board, and I'm not trying to bash on anybody here, but so many of the things that we had to do in the legislature, why couldn't the state school board have done? For instance, why did we have to pass a bill to keep boys out of the girls' bathrooms? Isn't that something the state school board could have done? And I remember asking people in the Department of Education that very question. You know what they said? We risk our federal funding. We might lose our federal funding if we do that. And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, lose the federal funding. If that means that my daughter doesn't have to be in the bathroom with the boy, it's worth it to me to lose the federal funding. And second, when the state passed the bill, we didn't lose our federal funding. So that was a straw man argument anyway. So I don't know. I'm frustrated with it, but however it gets done, it's just like with the nursing mom thing. The Supreme Court came in with an administrative rule and fixed that. That's fine. I don't care how this stuff gets fixed. Just fix it.
That was really the Supreme Court smacked it down like pretty efficiently. Was that when we were talking about this? We talked about this bill quite a bit. Did you see something like that happening?
Well, I knew it was a possibility. I had a lobbyist reached out to me on Facebook when he saw me posting about this. And he said, you know, this could also be fixed by administrative rule at the court. And I said, no, I didn't realize that. So that was my backup plan. I was planning to call Sarah Stewart. But if you remember, that was the week she was taking over for Tom Parker and getting sworn in. It was a bad week at the Supreme. I mean, they were literally moving furniture around in the building. I thought, I'm going to give her till next week because session wasn't coming up for another week or two anyway. So that was always my backup plan. But they beat me to it because Brad Mendham was reading 1819 News, saw the article, and said, I'm going to fix this right now. And he drafted the order and got the other 8 justices to sign on.
It was remarkable. But here's the thing, and this is me talking, not you. This is what we get when the Governor Ivey appoints a Democrat judge. You get silliness like this in the Jefferson County courts, and that's why the Supreme Court had to do what it did. Has this been an issue in any other courtroom?
Okay, so we requested other stories be sent in for people similar to what happened to Candace Brown.
Well, hold that thought, and we'll pick it up. We got a hard break here. We got Andrew Sorrell, our state auditor, with us. We'll talk some more on the other side. This is the Jeff Forrest Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.
Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning, 251-343-0106. Still to come, I believe, in person. I know we'll get Joey Clark here in about an hour. And in about 2 hours, former state senator Dick Brubaker, he's tentative. We've been texting back and forth, but that's the plan. We're in Montgomery today. I got to take care of some business. It's the second day of session, just getting credentials and figuring all that out. But that's on the docket for me. So that's why I'm in Montgomery, in case you care. With me here in Montgomery, who's a lot more than I am, is our buddy. He's a state auditor, Andrew Sorrell. Andrew, let's pick it up where we left off, talking about Candace Brown. And we're talking about, you know, this being a problem in one court in Jefferson County. And I had asked you, have we had any other reports of some of these nursing moms being, you know, now this judge was very aggressive, threatened to call DHR and yes. Just very, 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 very aggressive. But do we have anything similar that's happened in Alabama?
So I want to touch on both the things you just mentioned. Let's talk about the judge being aggressive and threatening DHR. You know, what bothers me is if you get a jury summons in Alabama and you throw it in the trash, in most counties, nothing ever happens to you, right? So you have Candace Brown, who's a 40-year-old mom, 5 children, including a 3-month-old. She shows up because she's a responsible citizen and she's afraid what will happen if she doesn't show up. Meanwhile, probably 50% of the people who got the jury summons just threw it in the trash and the court never does anything to them. So we're going to use the state's resources and threaten DHR on this mom who shows up and says, I've got a 3-month-old, I can't serve on the jury. And we're going to let the people who just ignored the jury summons off scot-free. That really bothers me. Now, you asked, are we having this problem in other areas? I got calls from numerous circuit clerks, circuit judges in other counties, and they said, this is crazy. We always exempt nursing mothers. I remember the circuit judge in Coosa County texting me, for instance. I talked to my circuit clerk, Mark Eady, in Colbert County. He said, any nursing mom who calls up here, automatic exemption. We don't even make them come in. We just do it over the phone for them and make it easy on them. So I told Candace Brown, I said, we have to illustrate to the legislature that this problem is not necessarily isolated. It's not just you that this has happened to. I mean, your story may be enough, but if we get another 20 stories, so much the better. So every media appearance we do, we're going to ask the general public, if a similar thing has happened to you, reach out to me on Facebook, reach out to Candace on Facebook, send us your story. And Candace and I had a Google Doc shared, and we were compiling these stories. And the last time I looked, this was right before the Supreme Court fixed the problem for us and we don't have to worry about it anymore. But the last time I looked, there were about 30 women who had sent stories in. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Where are these stories coming from? You know what I found? Almost all of them were the exact same place, Jefferson County.
Jefferson County is just a weird, weird, weird place. But that's what happened. Like I said, Governor Ivey appointed this judge. She could have put a Republican on that bench, and she put a Democrat. So there you have it. Hey, let's talk about this. You and I were talking about this last night after State of the State. This recount bill, I think Debbie Wood is was the sponsor, but it sounds like it's getting a lot of pushback. But you were telling me kind of the path forward or the path to where we are today, and we're talking about doing these, you know, right now you do these recounts and you have a tabulator and then you do the hand recount as an audit. And then in some places it was off, but not by a whole lot, but enough to where it could matter in an election. Walk us through where we are on this.
So let's start with the broad overview. Debbie Wood is sponsoring an election audit bill, which I think we desperately need in Alabama. Now, there's some people who are upset about the bill because it's too strong. There's other people who are upset because it's not strong enough. I'm in the not strong enough camp personally. I think we need to make it even stronger because I think that's what the voters in Alabama are wanting. But we are one of one states in the nation that does not audit our elections. All 49 other states have some type of election audit process, and we don't. So I think that's a problem. Now, do I think that our elections are the best in the nation? I actually do. I think Alabama has the best election laws in the nation. I think the people who run our elections here are good and trustworthy, and we don't have near the voter fraud and the problems that the other states do. However, we don't need to stick our head in the sand. We don't know that Republicans, for instance, will always be running the elections in Alabama. We need to have an election audit process in place. And we've got, it needs to verify that our tabulators are working correctly. And this was the purpose of the 2022 bill that Representative David Standridge carried. Now, I was still in the legislature at the time. Election integrity was a hot topic because of the Trump 2020 election. And Standridge carries a bill and says, we're going to audit three counties in Alabama. We're going to audit one statewide race, like the governor's race, and we're going to audit one countywide race, maybe like the sheriff's race, for instance, in three counties. It had to be a big, a medium, and a small county. One had to be in North Alabama, a central, and a South Alabama. And the counties had to volunteer. Now, when I heard that, I thought, all right, instantly, this audit may not be worth doing.
Yeah.
Well, the ones who are messing, if there's cheating going on, those counties aren't going to volunteer, right? So the counties that we had volunteer were Marshall County, Selma, Dallas County, and Houston County. So we passed the bill. Of course, I'm going to vote for it. I didn't think the bill was near strong enough of an audit. It was only a one-time deal, but I said, well, I'm not going to vote against the bill. Obviously, I'm going to support it. So I vote for the thing. It passes. And I never heard another word about it. And 2 years go by. And a couple months ago, I thought, what was the result of that audit? I never heard. I'm going to go look it up. So I dug around the Secretary of State's website and I found the report. Marshall County came out perfect. Houston County came out perfect. Dallas County was off by two votes in the governor's race. So I dig in, I'm reading the notes from where they had done. And this was a hand recount, by the way. And I'm reading. And so I actually called John Merrill. I got the phone number for the Dallas County probate judge. I called and spoke to him myself. And I said, I'm just curious, like whatever came of this? Like you found that the election, the tabulators were off by two votes. He said, Andrew, we counted that three or four times by hand. Our count is right. We got the right count when we counted by hand. And I thought, this is so strange. So we audit our elections and we come off two votes in Dallas County and no one talks about it. And I think the purpose of the audit may have been to illustrate that Alabama had perfect elections and nothing to worry about. And actually, we found a small problem, or maybe a big problem, depending on how close the race was. Now, the governor's race wasn't going to make any difference.
No,
right?
But you made this point. We've had, you know, Whatley lost his Senate seat, the Republican primary, by one vote. You talked about Debbie Wood, her race. You know, you have just, you do have in Alabama, in these low turnout Republican primaries, Democrat primaries too, I guess, depending on where you're at, these very, very core two votes could make a difference.
Well, and even in some of the general elections, the Conecuh County Sheriff's race in 2022, you remember, was won by one vote. And the canvassing board voted to count two ballots, which I don't believe should have counted. And the Republican Party doesn't believe it either. And they're actually suing right now. That court case was supposed to be 2 weeks ago, and it was the week that the snowstorm hit. So Conecuh County, that got delayed. So I don't know when the new court date for that is. Of course, by the time this is settled in court, it'll almost be time to just run in 2026.
A 2022 election, guys, and they're just now getting around to the court case. Just that tells you what you need to know about things in the state.
That's right. And the court case, I mean, who knows which way. Maybe it'll go our way. Maybe it won't. But if it doesn't, then it'll have to get appealed. And by the time the appeals are done, like literally, we will be qualifying candidates for 2026. So I know the Republican who ran for sheriff in Conecuh County. I know his wife. I actually put his wife on the board of registrars in Conecuh County. But there were two votes where the individuals had circled the donkey on the ballot. Rather than bubbling in the bubble for straight Democrat, they had circled the donkey. Well, you're not supposed to count stray marks. I mean, that's a stray mark to me. So in my estimation, those votes shouldn't count.
They circled the donkey.
They circled the donkey. And then
did you not take a Scantron test in school, guy? Like, if you can't figure out how to fill in the bubble on the ballot, then you ought to be disqualified anyway.
So I think it's fairly good odds the Republican Party actually wins this lawsuit and Blackmun becomes the sheriff there. But either way, the point, I wasn't even intending to debate that necessarily. My point was just that the Democrats won by one vote.
Correct. These are close elections, and you know, being off by two on a tabulator doesn't sound like a lot, but in Alabama it has shown that this matters.
Yeah, and we don't have electronic voting machines in Alabama, thankfully, right? You don't go in and cast your vote on a machine and there's no paper trail. We have paper ballots. We vote in person. We vote on election day. We vote on a paper ballot, and we vote with an ID. So we check all the boxes for doing it right. Now, there is a Democrat bill in the legislature this year. We talked about this a month or two ago on the radio, with 25 co-sponsors that would allow for no excuse absentee voting. That's terrible. The fraud is in the absentees. 90% of the time, the fraud is in the absentees. So we've got to make sure that bill doesn't go through. But I'm very pleased with our election laws in Alabama. But to say that we don't need an audit, I mean, even the most legitimate, upstanding companies, the governmental entities, they're all audited. And they should be. Even if you think there's nothing wrong, you still do the audit because you never know.
Well, and this seems to be... You and I were talking about this part as well last night. There's a lot of public buy-in, interest, support for something like this. This isn't just like busybody, you know, or feel-good virtue signaling like banning a Glock switch. That there are people really lined up wanting this.
So there's one of two things is going to happen when you do the audit. Either the numbers come up perfect and everyone's reassured that our elections are safe and the tabulators work correctly and everything, and that's a win. Or you find out that they don't add up, was in the case of Dallas County. In the case of Dallas County, the tabulators added it up. They were off by two votes. Either way, if you find out you have a problem or you find out you don't, it's useful information. And I've seen polling on this, Jeff, and it is through the roof. Republican primary voters want election integrity. They want an audit. And I think ultimately they're going to get it.
We didn't get the district maps right last cycle because there's still people using pen and paper or pencil and paper. I'm not saying that there's rampant errors or fraud around Alabama, but I think we got to have some checks in place, some fail safe, you know, like this, it's just idea that these probate judges just trust us. We got this. Doesn't really sail to me.
Well, there was an error made in several different areas in Alabama. And one of those was in my home area of Lauderdale County, where there was a young lady named Kimberly Butler running in the Republican primary along with Ben Harrison. And then there was a county commissioner from Limestone County. Jason Black was his name. So those three were running, and there was a fourth candidate. And there was one precinct where they gave out the incorrect ballots. The registrars had drawn the lines incorrectly. And there was about 150 people in the wrong precinct. So they were voting in House District 1 instead of House District 2. And that happened to be a precinct very close to where Kimberly lived. And she was doing very, very well in that surrounding area. And about half of those people showed up to vote and were given the wrong ballot and didn't get to vote for Kimberly. And she ended up getting something like 37 sworn affidavits, people saying, I was going to vote for you and you weren't on my ballot. And she missed the runoff by 11 votes. Now, we don't know who ultimately would have won. My friend Ben Harrison won that race. And who knows, he may have still beaten Kimberly in a runoff. We don't know. But the point is, you got to do stuff right. And I ended up replacing the Lauderdale County Registrar as a result of that. When I came in, the person Jim had put in there, I said, I can't necessarily guarantee that it was her fault, that she was the one that drew that line wrong. But, you know, there has to be some accountability somewhere. So I appointed a new registrar.
Was it Etowah County? You had a candidate who swore up and down he was in this district, and they told him, no, you're not. And they wouldn't qualify him to be on the ballot. Then he goes to vote on election day. There he is. I mean, he's in that district. Goodness. I mean, it's just.
Wow.
So you're told, well, just trust us. We got it under control. But, and I know these are separate issues, but the trust factor from that, it has to be earned. And you didn't really, these election officials in these counties did not earn our trust. Well,
the Etowah County situation was interesting because Representative Mack Butler, who ultimately won that race against Gil Isbell, it was about a 52-48 race. So Mack Butler's sister is a lady I know where she's in the Republican Party. She goes in to vote absentee. And of course she's there. She's going to vote for her brother, right? And her brother is not on her absentee ballot. And she says, hey, problem, this is not the right ballot. And they said, yes, it is. She said, no, my brother, I live in my brother's district. He told me I lived in his district. He's not on my ballot. So she was there 6 weeks before the election. They had 6 weeks to fix that, to sort out the district error, whatever been drawn wrong, to reprint about whatever they needed to do. They had 6 weeks to fix it, and it still didn't get fixed by election day.
I think there's more of that. I you know, that was a close race, 4 points. I think there's a lot more of that around. There's no way to know, or there was maybe at the time. Maybe they got it fixed now. But talking about this, the probate judges, they don't like this this bill that you're supporting.
You know, I think that they're worried it's going to add additional time, additional cost onto the election process, and maybe it does. And I'm not a big government guy. I don't like expanding government, spending more money, but there's some things you have to get right. Like, nobody says, hey, let's not hire more police officers because that's expanding government. Well, no, if you have murders in your city, like Birmingham's already had 11 this year, right? People say, hire the police officers. Some things that government clearly are meant to do. One of the things government is supposed to do and do right is run the election. So if we need to spend some extra money, reassure people with an election audit that their votes are being counted and tabulated correctly, then let's do it. I don't understand. Like, these voters, the same people that vote for me in my primary are voting for the probate judges in theirs. And I don't understand the disconnect between the elected officials sometimes and what the public wants. Now, thankfully, in that Mac Butler race, that one got challenged with the Republican Party. They heard the challenge and they figured out that there were about 200 and some voters in the wrong precinct. However, Mac Butler had won by 400 or 500 votes. So they said it wouldn't have changed the outcome of that election. So that's good. But in the Lauderdale County case, it might have, because Kimberly Might should have been in that runoff.
Well, and like, you know, Russell County, they Wally's race, they think that they may have messed that up there, North Russell County. It happens, and this is where we think having some kind of level of trust, you got to earn it. In case you're out there listening, any probate judges. Andrew, we're out of time, but I do appreciate you stopping by, and you'll be back down my way later this month, right?
Yeah, I think we're scheduled for later on, so... Always good to see you.
Andrew Sorrell, our state auditor, stopping by the outpost here in Montgomery. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.